Greetings, golf fans. Sports Guy Ty here. We celebrate another winner-winner fried perch dinner, our third in 4 weeks on the podcast, thanks to T-Mac backing Sam Bentgrass Burns at Colonial. But the news of the hour that we dive into first is the announcement of the full field for the LIV Golf Invitational in London. Lots to break down on who's going and who's not. As always, we give our best tips, picks, and best bets for the Memorial. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. Enjoy. Welcome, golf fans, to the Right Click Print Money Podcast. This is the PGA Tour Tips and Picks Show, making paper for the masses. Episode 58, the Memorial at Jack's Place, and one more week on the beautiful grind. I am your host, Sports Guy Ty, joined each and every week by my most esteemed co-host, T-Mac and Shallow Cal. T-Mac, let's start with you, because you landed another winner-winner fried perch dinner last week at Colonial. Any special podcast sauce for Sam Bentgrass Burns at 28-1?
You know I've got the donkey butter number 9 going here for good old Sammy boy. Yeah, man, I all I wanted was that plaid jacket that he had and that Thunderbird that he drove off in, and I'd be in good spirits right now.
Man, that was a pretty sweet 79 Thunderbird.
I'll have to settle for the win, though. So, I mean, that's another win. I really should go back and count how many of these I've hit so far. But that's a positive, a net return of 17.6 units on the day, which brings my grand total for the year, 467.19 units on the year.
Beautiful. Just cruising along.
I might bet all of that on Garrick Higo so I can win 250,000 plus units.
Well, that would be the ultimate T-Max lottery ticket. all right, let's bring in Shallow Cal.
Wide fairways this week, baby.
Wide fairways, that can't hurt Higo.
Nope.
What podcast sauce are you using to drown the sorrows of three golfers, T7, in one spot outside the places at Colonial?
There was a fourth as well, Russell Knox, that was at one point right there. So they were all at one point, I believe, 5 or 6 under par. And I believe 6 under par would have placed. So yeah, that was a bit disappointing. I've got some Chinaco Reposado tequila, handcrafted in Mexico. It is pretty fantastic. Nice warm summer evening. Nothing like a really, really great tequila, drink that on the rocks, and then have a little Modelo beer back. So little Mexican flavor tonight in the Shallow Cal household.
Love the sidecar action as well.
Yeah, gotta do it.
Tough week for me at Colonial with only really Jordan Spieth threatening anything. So I am drowning my sorrows with a Citrus Rescue IPA from Fat Tire Brewing Company. A little summer beer, try and change up the mojo this week, get back on track. All right, but before we get to the Memorial and Jack's tournament, some news broke about 30 minutes or so leading up to our podcast recording. We now have the full field for the first LIV Golf event in London, June 19th at Centurion Club. This is opposite the RBC Canadian Open on the PGA Tour. Notable names in the field, Dustin Johnson, probably the biggest surprise, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Na, Taylor Gooch, Richard Bland, and Sam Horsfield, to name a few. Notable names not in the field, Jason Kokrak, Bryson DeChambeau, and Phil Mickelson. Shallow Cal, are you more surprised by who's in this field or who's not?
I am 100% more surprised at who is not in this field. just by Phil Mickelson alone.
Yeah, that's a big name not to be on the list.
That's kind of where I am in that. But the other, I definitely surprised at who's not in this field, but definitely very surprised by both.
T-Mac, are you intrigued? Enough star power in this field to get you to watch?
Honestly, I am ashamed to say I was a little just ignorant to this. And when you guys were texting about it, I started to look it up. And I'm pretty intrigued by the format. I like the three courses. I like the no cuts. I like the way that they kind of had the shotgun starts. It seems just like a very fan-friendly way to go about this. So, you asked me a question in there. What was that? I'm sorry.
Are you intrigued by this field? Enough star power to get you to watch?
So I'll probably be very busy, so I probably won't watch, but I'll say I'll keep up on it.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to watch. I'm intrigued enough by the names at the top of the board. Dustin Johnson, certainly. Louis Oosthuizen. There's some big names, not big names, but there's some notable names from the PGA Tour. As mentioned, Sam Horsfield, Pablo Larrazabal's in this field, Richard Bland. So I color me intrigued. Definitely enough to watch. We've got a few amateurs playing in the field as well. David Puig is actually playing in the national title match tomorrow for Arizona State, and he's in the field for the first live event.
Did you see any of that today?
I watched a little bit of it.
It's those kids. They look young, and they look skinny and tiny, and they hit the ball a mile.
I did watch the kid from Vanderbilt, the freshman, win the individual title yesterday. Pretty impressive how he played that first playoff hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andy Ogletree, also in the field from Little Rock, Mississippi, former U.S. amateur champion. James Pyatt, former Michigan State Spartan and U.S. amateur champ as well, also in the field. One spot at large being held as well. Any guesses on who that name may be, Shallow Cal?
I mean, Phil, Bryson, Kokrak, honestly, I have no idea, but I have a feeling it's probably one of those three guys.
T-Mac, guesses?
Yeah, Phil sounds like a pretty safe bet.
I think they're holding the spot for Bryson. I think that's who they want it to be. I just don't know that it's realistic. I don't know that he's healthy enough, and I don't know that his first event back is going to be with Liv, but that's my guess. I don't think they're going to end up with Bryson. But I think Phil obviously is another one. Just too much controversy surrounding him after what happened with the leak. I don't think we see him at this event, but I don't think we rule Phil out of future events by any means. Really and truly, this is going to get interesting in a couple weeks. This first field is a nice kind of nibbler appetizer just to kind of see who now really is kind of connected. But remember, the tour doesn't come to U.S. soil until 4th of July weekend at Pumpkin Ridge out in Oregon. And that's when the rubber's really going to meet the road. I'm not sure that we're necessarily going to see suspensions from the PGA Tour after this first event. I'm very interested to see who shows up in the field for the second event on U.S. soil opposite a PGA Tour field, because that's when I think it's going to get real.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I was saying for a lot of these guys, you know, I understand it. Blandy, understand it 100%. Go capitalize on what you've done in the last year and a half, really. Make that money. You know, he really hasn't made all that much money on his golf career, up until now. But very surprised, at a guy like Taylor Gooch, young guy, very talented, a ton of golf in front of him, was had his tour card secured. You know, it wasn't like, one of the guys down the list who's, you know, fighting for his tour card and spot on tour. He had it, and he was going to be playing events. So, disappointed in him, but understand it for some of the guys.
T-Mac, you surprised to see your boy Kevin Na on the field?
No. not in the least bit. This is like right up his alley.
honestly, if I was Kevin Na, I'd probably, and everybody on tour kind of already doesn't really like playing with you. You're really slow. You're notorious for, you know, not really getting along with some other players. I would have probably jumped ship too, man. Kevin Na in those fields is probably going to win a lot of money and do very, very well for himself.
And Kevin Na's done very, very well for himself in his career and has won a ton of money. So yeah, this is just icing on the cake. And I think he sees it as a better opportunity to much more money. And so, you know, hard to fault him for chasing it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, as we do each week, quick recap of past successes. T-Max winner fried perch dinner on Sam Burns 28-1 now makes 29 outright winners for the podcast since we started doing this back in 2021.
I did the math while you were talking there.
All right, how many winners?
I have 8 picked winners on the year, and my each way hits, including those winners, is 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 33 hits.
Since the start of the 2021-2022 PGA Tour season, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Yeah, pretty happy with that. Those each way, I mean, obviously the outright winners are great, you know, picking 8 of those, but 33 each way hits doesn't hurt.
That doesn't hurt at all. That contributes.
Especially when a couple of them are ones like that Bo Hostler hit at Pebble Beach.
Yeah. Because what, 150-1?
Yeah, I got like 50 units back on that or something crazy.
Yeah, not bad at all. Contributes as well to our 9 first-round leader winners and 9 triple-digit places. Longest winner this year, 150-1. Shallow Cal, please let everybody know where they can find those picks, what to do each and every week.
You can find us all individually on Twitter, at Trevor McElwain, at SportsGuyTy, and yours truly, at Shallow Cal Golf. The Right Click Print Money Podcast is also on Twitter at Right Click Picks, and that's where you can find all of our cards and bets, as well as the Google spreadsheet that contains all of our P&L plus minus and betting history. You go back and see what we were betting on last year at Jack's Place. If you fancy that, see who had John Rahm and was very angry when things did not turn out well. But also, you can find us, the podcast, the Right Click Print Money Podcast, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Please download the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review and a little note, and we will read it on the air.
Perfect. All right, in terms of show agenda, we'll do a full tournament and course breakdown in Muirfield with stats to consider, any weather of note. We do have a single first-round leader school pick tonight, so we'll get into that. Outright winners up to, but not including the triple digits, because those, of course, are reserved for T-Max lottery tickets. Let's get after it. Little tournament and course preview. We are at Jack's Place this week, Muirfield Village Golf and Country Club for the Memorial. Fourth time we're going to see Muirfield in a little more than 2 years. You will recall that in 2020, coming out of the pandemic, we enjoyed Muirfield back-to-back weeks when Colin Morikawa won the Workday Charity Open, followed by John Rahm winning the Memorial. Then, of course, 2021, the infamous disqualification of Rahm after his Saturday round leading by 6 because he tested positive for COVID, benefited yours truly handsomely on Patrick Cantlay, which we'll get into a little bit more later. This tournament has invitations. What's that?
Bullshit.
This tournament has invitational status, one of only 5 on tour. Also grants a 3-year exemption for a win as opposed to only 2 years for a normal tour win. Tiger Woods is your all-time leader for wins with 5. Second is Kenny Perry with 3. Jack Nicklaus himself, Hale Irwin, Greg Norman, Tom Watson, and Patrick Cantlay each have won twice. Tom Lehman holds the course record here, 20 under 1994, and last 5 years, the winning score is just a hair below 14 under. Shallow Cal, you want to hit us with some course vitals?
Yeah, right after that that win last from Rahm. They basically tore up everything. Redid green complexes, put in a ton of work on like the maintenance side of it. I would say they put in the great technology, the drainage around the greens and whatnot. They didn't even finish the tournament before they started ripping up those greens. They extended it a little bit. We are out to just a shade under 7,550 yards. We're par 72. Excuse me. These bent grass greens, small, fast, firm, averaging about 5,000 square feet. You got bent grass fairways as well. And then you've got the extremely penal Kentucky bluegrass rough. It is some of the toughest rough on tour. It has grown out this week to about 3 inches. So watch out for that. You got 11 holes with water in play, tough greenside bunkering, add in the weather potential. And you got a real tough scoring course out here. One of the hardest on tours annually. So definitely not something that you're going to get much over 10, over par for a winning score, if that even. Fairways aren't super tight, but again, going back to that bluegrass rough, if you do miss, that's really extreme, and you're gonna have an incredible difficult time holding onto these small, firm greens with approach shots from the rough. So obviously, the point of golf is to hit the ball on the fairway off the tee. So most of the time, so you're gonna want to stay in the fairway this week. Approach play gonna be key this week as well. Like I said, those small greens, you're gonna be in some trouble in the bunker. You're gonna be trouble in that thick rough. Me personally, I'd rather have those shaved runoffs if I was playing. Yeah, so that's the Memorial hosted at Jack's Place, Muirfield Village. Back to this course again. It's going to be a grind. It really does present a challenge to these guys. So looking forward to this one. If the Players is the fifth major, then this has definitely got to be the sixth major, right?
I think so. Certainly at Jack's Place, everybody wants to win. This is a tough, challenging, tree-lined Parklands course. A really, really good all-around test of golf, as Jack has wanted it to be and has really designed it to be. T-Mac, stats to consider for you this week, making your way around Muirfield?
Yeah, I didn't really overthink stats to consider this week, honestly. So I think strokes gained on the approach is going to be very important, as Shell O'Cal mentioned just there a moment ago. I'm also looking at strokes gained around the green for those that, weren't so great on the approach. Scrambling percentage. And then looking at strokes gained par fours, 450 plus yards.
Yep, I'm on a very similar wavelength. I'm looking at greens and regulation first. Last 12 editions of this tournament, not counting Morikawa at Workday, have seen the winner finish first in greens and regulation four times.
It's a family podcast, Ty. Come on.
No, it isn't.
Well, I do check the explicit box every week. Only five times during that stretch has the winner finished outside the top 10. Pretty clear that hitting a bunch of greens is key to success this week at Muirfield. I'm going strokes gained approach as well. Tricky green complexes here with nods to Augusta. Lots of undulation, likely to play firm and fast. Long iron strikers have an advantage in attacking these greens. Really home in on those key distances of 150 to 175 yards and 175 to 200. Both ranges see more approach shots here on tour than average. Lastly for me, scrambling may actually seem a bit counterintuitive to list both greens and regulation and scrambling as key stats, since scrambling is literally defined as the percentage of time a player makes par or better when missing the green in regulation.
Yes, sir.
But this is a proper test of golf. It's, as mentioned, going to really challenge players throughout their bag. You've got very penal rough. Greens are on the smaller side, as mentioned, firm and fast. Even if you're hitting greens in regulation at a high rate, it's likely scrambling still going to come into play at some point. So I think those are able to do both well, likely to find themselves at or near the top of the leaderboard. What else you got for us, Shallow Cal?
I like everything that you guys have touched on. I'll throw one of my big ones in there. I think par five scoring is going to be huge this week. It's just really the best chance to score on this course. If you're not going to be scoring on the par fives, you're going to have a hell of a hard time scoring on the par fours and the par threes this week. So I really think that par fives are going to be the place where you make your most damage against the course this week. And then, your strokes gained approach, scrambling. Everybody's going to miss greens here. You're not going to hit every green in regulation. Everybody's going to miss green. So how good are you going to be around those greens and saving par?
All right. T-Mac, anything to look out for in the way of weather in Dublin, Ohio this week?
Just on Thursday, it's looking like some heavy rain and heavy winds. It does seem to settle down kind of later into the evening. It doesn't call for thunderstorms, so it just looks like it'll be nice and wet. Friday, we're going to be in the mid-70s, mostly sunny. Probably a little sloshy out there from the day before, but then by Saturday, Sunday, we're in the mid to high 70s, even low 80s on Sunday, low winds. It should be fine towards the end of the week.
Okay, so nothing much in the way to consider. Always good. All right, well, let's get into making some picks. As mentioned, a single selection this week for First Round Leader School. We are back now a couple weeks in a row, so grab those pencils, your paper, trapper keepers, whatever you need, because the First Round Leader Savant, Shallow Cal, is going to drop the knowledge for you. Take it away, my friend.
I am going to go. There was a couple guys that I was looking at. One of them, a favorite First Round Leader pick of mine. Joaquin Niemann didn't make the cut, but he is in that AM wave. So Joaquin Niemann might be a good look if you can get him at a good price. I was seeing him at 45-1. But I really, really, really like this person this week. He has a propensity to just go bananas in the first round. We've cashed a couple of first round leader tickets on him already. We've cashed some first-round leader places on him, but that's Mr. Cam Smith. This guy, we want to talk about modeling well for a course like this. Boy, this guy does it. His approach play, his iron play, his wedge play around the greens, his PGA putting performance was, man, it was close. It was so damn close and so tilting to watch those putts burn edges like that. You've got to think that maybe he's due for a little regression back to the mean, maybe even on the other side of that and make all of those putts. But give me Cam Smith, man. 33-1 for 0.2 units each way for 0.4 units total.
If old Mullet can start out fast on a Thursday.
He sure can.
Yeah, he's been known to. T-Mac, nothing for you this week in the way of first round plays?
No, I went kind of overload on the T-Mac's tickets this week.
I noticed that. You've got 10 selections total on the card.
I just like the numbers on like most of my favorite long shots. So I kept looking at the names. I was like, really? 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 And I know they're not, you know, and good shape necessarily for the tournament, but these are guys that are going to get me 50 units when they hit, you know, third place.
I mean, as much as we've seen the best of the best dominate here in recent years, you don't have to go back all that far to find a couple winners deep into the triple digits at Muirfield. I think David Lingmerth was 500-1 when he won it here. So maybe not a bad strategy this week. And because there's 10 names on that card, we better jump right into it, start going through a couple of these selections.
Yeah, fly through.
I think I actually start things off. I'm the only only one with a sub 20 pick this week. Yeah. So I'm on. Yeah, I mean, surprising, right? There's, as just mentioned, a lot of success from the big names at the top, but not a lot of us on those short numbers. Jello Cal, you couldn't go back to John Rahm after last year?
No. I did pick John Rahm in one and done, though. I mean, I definitely, you know, when we always joke about single bullet Rahm weeks or single bullet, I mean, X, Y, or Z, I feel like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just so short. The numbers, 8 to 1, 7 to 1 in some places, just way, way, way too short. But he models out so well. I mean, everything about his game, and especially the comp and the comp course history, and then the history here. I mean, 21 strokes gained over 3 days last year. Just absolutely insane. So didn't go with John Rahm, but going with John Rahm in one and done.
Yeah, I think we actually joked on the podcast last year recapping the Memorial that John Rahm probably could have showed up on Sunday with a 7-iron only and still won that tournament. But because he did not, yours truly benefited. And so my first ticket this week, I'm going 2 points win only on Patrick Cantlay, 17-1. As T-Mac likes to say, never remove a winning chip from the roulette table. And this is truly my luckiest outright winner. I was on Cantlay last year, as mentioned, 2 points win only at 20-1. And so with Rahm ahead by 6 after the third round and no each way places to cling to, it looked like it was going to be a miserable week. But then fate handed me 42 points worth of winnings. So that was just delightful. Was that
before Bet Rivers had released the each way betting in the United States?
No. I had each way bets that week. I just went win only on Cantlay.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I thought I was going to be simply left at the altar. So I am back on him this year. Long irons putter, been a bit shaky. Dismal performance, obviously, at the PGA. But before that, he won the team event at Zurich. Second at Harbortown immediately prior to that. And with Cantlay, the results have actually been a bit better than his recent numbers suggest if you're big into modeling. Rates just 39th in my model the last 8 rounds, but that includes a missed cut at the PGA, second at Harbortown, and then you've got to go all the way back to a missed cut at the Players for Patrick Cantlay, because during that stretch, he played the Masters, the Zurich, and the WGC, all of which don't have strokes gain data, and all of which he played very well, save for the Masters. So, again, I think the numbers tell a bit of a different story on Patrick Cantlay. I am a bit worried about those long irons and the putter, but I think he's going to be very motivated this week to show that it wasn't, you know, just a fluke that he got handed last year. He's a two-time winner. He's very deserving. So Patrick Cantlay, 2 points for me, 17-1, win only. Let's get lucky again. Shallow Cal, you are next at 20.
Yeah, which one do you want from me? Or a dealer's choice?
Dealer's choice. Actually, you stick with both of them because T-Mac doesn't come in until 28.
Oh, all right. Well, since I started talking about him earlier, Cam Smith, he's a first-round leader pick that I've got. This dude is he's really fun to watch play golf. He can pour it in. And I think now with his gained experience in the last...
What is he pouring it into exactly?
The cup. He's pouring it into the cup.
Gotcha, sir.
Yeah. He can definitely play and compete at this level. I think his experience, like I just said, you know, has been great. Now he can win these tournaments. And his wedge play, his approach play, and his putting is going to make him a threat at any golf course that he goes to. So of the top tier guys in the model, I thought 20-1 was a really good number for Mr. Cameron Smith. Now a guy who's won here, Spieth, Jordan. He is very good on this course. He is a decent driver of the ball when he wants to be. But he's really good at fucking scrambling, man. He's really good strokes gained approach. He's really good par five scoring. So I think this is a week where hopefully a little bit of change of scenery to really fast, quick bent grass greens can spark something inside of him to get that putter to be automatic like it was within 10 feet. That's crazy that's what's holding him back right now from winning golf tournaments is his putting, and who thought we would ever be saying that? So hopefully the flat stick gets right for Jordan. Everything else is right there for him. So let's go 20-1. Jordan Spieth, a unit each way for 2 units total.
All right, couple plays, 20-1 from Shallow Cal. I lied. I've actually got one more prior to T-Max first pick at 28-1. I am on Shane Lowry, 1.5 points each way, 23-1, five places on the each way here. I know I said I would never bet Shane Lowry again after what he did to me back on the Florida swing, but I just can't turn away from what really is a model maniac for me this week. Last 50 rounds, my model, he ranks first in this field. Last 36, first. Last 24, first. Last 12, third. And last 8, fourth. Averages second in my model over that entire time frame. I just think this is a great course for Shane Lowry. He's proven it with his course history. He was sixth here last year. He did go missed cut, then 39 in the double event in 2020. Missed it when it was playing a bit tougher the week prior. And then 15th back in 2017. Really good game for this course. He leads the PGA Tour in scrambling this year. He's 8th in strokes gained approach and 10th in putting. Also ranks top 15 in approach from 175 to 200 and top 30 in ball striking. T-Mac, your first selection at 28-1.
You know I'm going, my boy, Will Zalatoris, 28-1. 2 units bet, 1 unit each way. 3rd in strokes gained approach to the green. 1st in strokes gained tee to green. He's 10th strokes gained off the tee. He's looking for that win after the PGA. So I'm expecting a nice performance here out of Willie Z. And, you know, he's looking good. His green and regulation percentage is 70.37%. Things are looking good here for him.
Yeah, plays a tough course as well, too. So certainly Muirfield should be a fit. Back to me. I'm on Hideki Matsuyama, 1 point each way out to 6 places at 28-1. Past champion at Muirfield in 2014, just playing some really consistently good golf right now. Average of 13th in this field, my model, considering each of the last 50, 36, 24, 12, and 8 rounds. If you throw out a very ho-hum PGA championship, then you've actually got to go all the way back to the CJ Cup in mid-October for the last time Hideki finished outside the top 40. 2 wins on tour this season, Zozo and Sony. More impressively, 0 missed cuts. Did have the 1 withdrawal at Texas Open. 6th on tour this season in strokes gained approach, 8th from 150 to 175 yards, 12th in greens and regulation, and 1st in scrambling from the fringe, which could be key this week, with Shallow Cal shaved runoffs.
Hey!
combination of course history and recent form for me, hard to turn away from Hideki at that number.
Was it last year this week where I referenced 70s porn star bush thick rough? Was that for the memorial?
Was it for the memorial? No, I think it was somewhere else. I can't remember where.
Okay. That was an epic episode.
It sure was. All right, we'll stick then with you, Shallow Cal, for your 33.
33, Sungjae Im. Par 5 player, iron striker, ball striker. Let's ride that hot streak. He played the weekend pretty well. at Jesus, where were we just at?
Colonial.
Yeah. Holy cow. You know, he started off a bit slow after his first time back from in a tournament after a little break from COVID. But he's rounding back into form. He is a grinder on a grinder's course. You know, there's some courses that just fit guys' types of games, and this is one for Sungjae, and I think he's just gonna grind his way up there. So 33-1, I like that coming off of a nice finish last week.
T-Mac, you got a 33-1 as well.
I do. I went with my boy Waco. He's playing some very, very good golf right now as well. 18th strokes gained off the tee, 10th strokes gained around the green, 12th strokes gained tee to green. And a little interesting stat here, he's fourth at going for the green, birdies or better. So Joaquin Niemann here, looking pretty solid at 33-1, 2 units bet, 1 unit each way.
Waco. We're actually going to stay with you for your 40.
You know I'm never going to pass up on Max Homa. I mean, you know, he's doing really well this year, tied for third in wins on the tour. I also forgot to mention with Waco, putts per hole right now, tied for fourth at 1.7. But anyhow, Max Homa looking very sharp as well here. 18th strokes gained around the green, 15th going for the green, 13th going for the green, birdies are better. I'm liking Max again, and when I see a good number on him, such as 40-1, 2 units bet, 1 unit each way, I'm going for it.
All right, can't quit Homa.
The one thing I do like about Waco is if it starts getting a little bit windy, he's really good with that ball flight, keeping it and shaping it. I would say probably one of the best on tour, honestly, at playing and going and moving the ball both ways. So I really like that Waco bet. And I almost bet him first round leader, actually.
I'm hoping for a big day for 4 days for Waco.
All right. Well, Shallow Cal, back to you for a 45.
It's Mito week.
It's Mito week.
So ball strikers approach, all of the above. He putted well on bent grass. He putted well on bent grass greens, or he put well on bent grass greens at the PGA. So hopefully he was right there, except for some boneheaded mistakes last week. At one point he was at 8 under par in the final round. And then just kind of lost it on the back nine. You know, I love Mito. We all know that. He's a really damn good golfer. And this could be the week. He plays well at tough courses. So give me some Mito Pereira, 45-1, 0.4 units each way for 0.8 units total.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys right now, young guys, that are just knocking on the door and playing well every single week and getting ready to just kind of kick it down like Scottie Scheffler's done here last couple months. So one of those guys I'm also on this week, not Mito, but I'm 1 point each way on Davis Riley, 60-1, only out to 5 places. He's got form in spades at the moment. He's just, again, playing... Yeah, ball striker, playing some really good G.
Yeah.
5 consecutive tournaments, T13 or better. He's been top 10 in 4 of them. Threatened at Colonial before a disaster on hole 14 Sunday. Tour maiden, who doesn't figure to hold that distinction for long, as I mentioned in that group, you know, kind of with Will Zalatoris, Cam Young, Mito Pereira, a couple guys just week in and week out, proving that they've got the chops to compete with the best at big tournaments. Key for Davis Riley, those irons, they've been fantastic. Despite this being his first tournament golf at Muirfield, I think he's really going to find it to his liking. He's hit a ton of greens here lately. As Shadow Cal mentioned, a pure ball striker. And then again, irons dialed in at the moment. So I think 60-1, pretty good number on Mr. Davis Riley.
It's a good putter, too.
Really good putter the last couple weeks. And it's, yeah, it's really been key to those a lot of those top finishes.
Yeah.
All right, one more play for me in front of a very interesting selection from T-Mac that we're going to have to get some more information on. I am 1 point each way on Patrick Reed, 65-1. Like Davis Riley, only five places. But kind of hard to believe that a nine-time PGA Tour winner and a major champion is longer on the odds board than the rookie I just talked about. But here we are. I understand 2+ years haven't been great run of form for Patrick Reed, but he is starting to heat up again. Made 6 of his last 7 cuts going back to the Players. Best finish of T7 last week at Colonial. Great course history. Played it 7 times, including the workday. He's got 3 top 10s. Best finish actually came last year here in 5th place. So he ranked 17th in my model last 8 rounds, comes in with a bit of that mo and just too much value to pass up on. But the selection that we're all interested in is T-Mac with Bryson DeChambeau at 66-1.
Yeah, there's, you know, I tried to look up anything to justify that bet. And there's nothing really. I was kind of scrolling through and saw the number and didn't even think about any injury or anything like that. So, you know, maybe I'll sneak one past the goalie here. So 66-1, 2 units bet, 1 unit each way. Let's go, Bryson.
Are you worried about a withdrawal?
I'm hoping for a withdrawal. I'm hoping for a withdrawal. Like,
you're gonna get some withdrawal from that donkey butter or whatever you've been talking about.
Donkey butter number 9, please. Yeah,
that's right.
All right, Shallow Cal, to you for 70s.
Bryson actually won here, so that's, you know, that's something.
He did. He absolutely did.
So, honestly. If Bryson's healthy and he's ready, stranger shit's happened. You know, Phil Mickelson won a PGA championship at 50 years old. So, you know, why can't Bryson win, the memorial?
Yeah, I agree.
My 70-1, Seamus Power. Ball striker, driver of the ball, all of the above. Give me Seamus Power, 70-1, 0.4 units each way for 0.8 units total. Love this guy, and he's an all-around good golfer, and he is going to break through, and I'm going to be there for it, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a tour win, so he's been there before, but yeah, he's been knocking on the door a lot.
I don't want to say, like, I mean, obviously not a Scottie Scheffler breakthrough, but once he kind of, I feel like he's been playing the best golf of his career right now. So I feel like there's a lot ahead of him.
Yeah, great season to be certain. All right, I've got the last pick before we head to the triple digits. I'm on Aaron Wise, 1 point each way, 80-1, again, only out to five places. Another player whom I think is close to clicking on and being a consistent top 30 force in the world rankings. One PGA Tour win in 2018, Byron Nelson. He's also an NCAA individual champion from his time at Oregon. 2022 stats, he's 18th in greens regulation, 21st in ball striking, 26th in strokes gained approach, 28th in par four scoring, and 36th in approach from 175 to 200 yards. Three straight missed cuts here, actually, at Mirfield before finishing ninth last year. So certainly he found something. And again, I just think his game is built for this course. He's a player who is going to see some more wins coming. Again, kind of similar to what Shiloh Cal just said. I don't foresee an avalanche like Scotty Scheffler. But I think Aaron Wise is going to win on tour again soon. And I think this is a good place to take a chance at that 80-1 number. All right, well, that moves us to the triple digits, and that means it's time for T-Max lottery tickets. Long shots only when you're looking for the big payday, 100-1 or longer. Both Shiloh Cal and myself are out on the range this week, so T-Mac, it is all you for those six selections.
Yeah, just fired off some fan favorites here, but starting off with Tom Hoagie, 100-1, two units bets, one unit each way. I've been playing really good golf this year. Seventh strokes gained around on the approach. 26 strokes gained tee to green. Seventh in scrambling and more importantly, seventh in this field for scrambling from the rough. So I'm thinking Tom Hoagie's in play this week and 100-1. I like to see that with how well he's been playing. Cameron Tringali, this is another guy that I love, but he just hasn't really been playing all that well of recent. So hope to see kind of a little bit of a bounce back here at 125-1. It was a juicy number to take. Greens in regulation percentage, 37th. Strokes gained around on the approach, 39th. Going for the green, birdie or better, 46th. So I like Cameron Tringali. Then seems to be a little bit of a chalky pick here. Anibal Lahiri, I got him 150-1 here. This will make his fifth appearance at the Memorial, and in his four prior, he's made all four cuts. He's finished second in 2017. He's also gained at least two strokes on the approach in each of his four appearances. And even though he's not really known for that, having that good of an approach form. So he just seems to play this course really well. So I love that bet at 150-1, two units bet, one unit each way.
Nappy factor.
Yep. Then I went with Sepp Straka. Not a whole lot here for Sepp, except scrambling from the rough. He is fifth. I'm liking Sepp at this number. Last time I didn't bet him, he won. So I think that was at the Honda Classic. 175-1, one unit bet each way. Then I had to go again with another guy I've been betting this year, Bo Hostler. I think guys that are going to do well putting are going to have some opportunities this week with it being in a very tough course. Bo Hostler is fourth in strokes gained putting. So when they're going to give him a number like 250-1, I'm going to jump on that all day, every day. And finally, Garrick Higo, nothing of great note variety here of recent, but what I will say is if with me joking about betting 500 units on Garrick Higo here, if I'd be remiss if he did win. So I went with two units bet, one unit each way, 500-1.
Shiloh Cal, what are you going to do if Garrick Higo wins at 500-1 and you're not on that number?
I might jump off the roof. Leave it for a week like this where he does something stupid like that and wins a tournament.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
It was right around this time last year, though, that we were about to cash some Garrick Higo tickets on the European Tour.
Is that right?
I want to say it was.
Yeah, I just can't remember what time of year.
He's coming nice and focused this week. He's finishing T3 for sure. But I want to see that win out of Higo this week.
I'm all about it. 2021 Prism football cards released Friday. T-Mac, you getting in any breaks?
I do like Prism. It's one that I probably will get into a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I'm probably going to have to jump back in for a few as well.
It's a card I do really enjoy.
Yeah, very nice card.
There's a couple others coming out here soon, Flawless and Obsidian, but I don't know that I'll bet. I don't know that we'll see a lot of Flawless. They're pretty expensive.
Yeah, and first 2022 cards roll off the lot June 15th. We've got Panini Prism draft picks with some autographs from the most recent draft class. So it starts
on that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too. All right, well, reminder, you can see all of our picks from the Memorial by following at Right Click Picks on Twitter. Gentlemen, each and every week, the goal is making paper. Time to get out there and right-click print money for the masses. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, gents.
Cheers.